Tony McGrath, executive producer and host of The Power Play Show. All month, I'm celebrating women in a series empowering women. From entrepreneurs to artists to authors, the power of women is something to be celebrated, and I'm so excited to bring you some incredible women this month. So stay tuned and join me as we lift up our women all month long in our series, Empowering Women, each Thursday on The Power Play Show at thepowerplayshow.com.
From the studios at Hull Bay Productions, this is The Power Play.
Welcome to our special series, Empowering Women, on The Power Play Show. I'm Tonya McGrath. My next guest, I can say honestly, has worked hard her entire life. Tanya Blanco had dreams, big dreams. As a single mother, it would have been easy for her to put those dreams aside, but she persevered with the love and support of so many others in her life. And last year, March 5th, 2020, she made one of those dreams come true when she opened her own insurance agency. And in a field where men are more prominent, Tanya never gave it a second thought, saying, "I never cared about that." So with a new business and more dreams ahead, I'm happy to introduce Tanya Blanco. Tanya, welcome to The Power Play.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here. Yes.
You and I go back a little bit.
Just a little. We don't have to say how long, right?
We won't put any numbers out there. Let's just say that we were in high school together. We'll just put it as that.
Not that long ago.
Not that long. 10 years, tops.
Right.
Tell our audience a little bit more about yourself, what you're doing now, the life.
Well, I mean, just a kid from Cambridge. grew up in Cambridge, Mass. Lovely home there. Half Cuban, half Costa Rican kid who tried to find her way in life and where she fit in at times. But I figured it out 10 years after high school.
And how was that? I mean, I know your mom because everyone knew your mom. Your mom was like, she's fantastic. How's she doing, by the way?
Yeah, she's doing well. She's semi-retired because she won't let it go. She still goes back. But she likes to stay active, so that's good. But she's doing great. Thank you.
So when you talked about kind of fitting in, talk a little bit more about what that was like.
Yeah, I mean, being half Cuban and half Costa Rican, there weren't many people like me. Interestingly enough, there was another family that my mom and dad were friends with, and their kids were half Cuban and half Costa Rican. I was like, oh, wow. But I never heard that. No one ever guessed where I was from. They always assumed Puerto Rican. I went to schools that were predominantly white. So I was probably the only Hispanic kid in the class, or maybe one of two. But you know, it was an interesting life. It was a good round, education.
and you are a only child.
I am an only child on my mother's side.
On your mother's side, okay. Mm-hmm. And you guys were awfully close.
Yes, still are.
Still are very close. Talk about how important that was for you as a young woman coming out of high school. How important was that relationship?
Man, I remember going everywhere with my mother, literally to the bank, to grocery shop, to shopping, Central Square. I went everywhere with her because, my parents split up when I was young. So she was a single mom. And she would have to leave work sometimes to go get my lunch and bring it to school if she forgot, which I kid her about to this day, or, you know, make sure that I get to soccer or dance class or anything else. She was always there, never missed anything for school. That was just something I knew I wanted to have with my own daughter.
And is it fair to say that she was very inspirational in terms of who you became as a woman?
Absolutely. And that came, you know, trickling down from my grandmother with her relationship with my mom and her sister. My mom was definitely inspirational. My mom came to this country when she was 15 years old on her 15th birthday, and knew she wanted a better life and did that, just that. So she's always been my inspiration.
talk about what you graduated from high school, and we all kind of went our separate ways a little bit in that early trying to find ourselves period.
I remember.
10 years ago, right?
Right.
Talk about some of the things that you dreamt about back then. Like, what were some of your dreams back then?
Well, I did take a gap year off after high school because I wasn't sure what direction I wanted to go in. There were so many things I wanted to do. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to own a business. You know, I wanted kids someday, white picket fence, the whole thing. I just didn't know what direction I wanted to go to. But I come from business owner family. My dad has had businesses since I can remember. So I knew it was going to be a business. I didn't know what someday. So I took that year off to kind of figure out some things before I started studying business management.
And then you became a mom.
I did.
We all did.
We all did. And then that changed plans.
Yeah. So talk about when you first held your daughter, who is just drop dead gorgeous, by the way. But talk
Thank
about
you.
when you first held your daughter and what those feelings were like.
There is no other feeling in the world like that feeling. Of course, I was scared. I was like, oh my God, I'm responsible for what now? But I held her and I knew everything changed. Plans changed. Dreams just got bigger. My reason was in my arms now. And I knew that life would never be the same, but it's definitely been rewarding, to say the least.
And your mom was very much a support in that as well.
Yes.
You know, you talk about the fear, because I certainly felt that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh. You know, and I too had those dreams, and I was able to kind of, you know, push through and make them happen. So talk about how, you know, we talk about, you know, dreams sometimes being deferred, and it's usually the woman that has to make those very challenging decisions.
Yeah.
But, you know, talk about how you didn't really give up. You may have just kind of postponed some things.
Mm-hmm.
And what that felt like for you as a single mom.
Yeah, there really isn't an option to give up. You have to figure it out. And I mean, that's just what I did. I knew that now I had a much bigger, you know, reason to do what I wanted to do. Did it take me longer than some? Yes. I was still trying to finish school, trying to take care of her. Her father and I separated when she was only 6 months old. So it was really from the beginning that I was, you know, kind of a single mom. So things get pushed back, but I had to do it. I had no other choice in my mind than to continue going on. And then when I started, you know, working, I knew kind of what direction I wanted to go in. Maybe not necessarily the industry, but I knew I didn't just want a job. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just do something for a paycheck. So I worked very hard to kind of climb the corporate ladder, if you will.
And was it important for you to set that role model for your daughter?
Absolutely. She went with me everywhere. And what I mean is that I had jobs where I had to work evenings sometimes and or weekends, because either I was, you know, hosting events or, you know, something corporate, she would be there with me. So she used to be I worked for an organization that had young folks, young interns, and they'd say she was like our little mascot because she was literally a baby there with us.
Yeah.
So she's seen it all.
How you left Boston at one point,
mm-hmm.
And you were living in Miami?
I was
correct?
In Miami. Mm-hmm.
Was
21
it,
years.
Was it difficult being away from your mom in those kind of early years, raising your daughter by yourself?
It was. My dad was there at the time, but he was, you know, really into business and very busy. And not that he wasn't around, but he was also, you know, dad. Mom would have been much more helpful. So I kind of had to navigate through stuff. But my mom was always a phone call away. And that's what I did. I would call on mom, like, how do I make the baby stop crying? Or what do I do
right,
during
right.
this? You know, because that's who you go to during these times. I had no one else to ask.
And there was no FaceTime. There was no Zoom.
There was no FaceTime, no Zoom.
10 years ago.
Not 10 years ago, I know.
So that just seem like, you know, I mean, I had my kids young, but I stayed here. And, you know, I had opportunities to leave and go somewhere else. I was just scared to death to kind of leave that support. So, and you know, and I do understand that your dad was there and he was very helpful to you. I just, you know, when I think about how much I needed my mom.
Yeah.
In those young years.
Yeah, you definitely need a support system, because I remember having to leave work at 5 o'clock and then sit in traffic for an hour because Miami traffic was brutal, to try to get to daycare before six so that she wouldn't be the last one, which she was many times, and not have to pay that extra fee for having to make the staff wait for you, and always feeling guilty like, oh my God, my poor baby is there. But I had to do what I had to do at the time. And so, yeah, it was difficult. Support system is always a good thing. And I didn't quite have that because I didn't have mom there, or, you know, a sister or somebody that I could call on to, can you go pick up the baby for me?
Right. No, yeah, no, it's so true. Then you moved back here. And then talk about when you started to put the plans in motion to be your own boss.
Well, I always felt like I was meant to be a boss. Seeing my dad, he's a boss. You know, he always said that after starting his own business, that it was just difficult for him to go back and work for somebody else. He liked the freedom, the flexibility, and all of that. And not that he didn't work, because he worked very hard when he too came to this country. He started as a dishwasher and now has owned several restaurants. So, but I always knew, yeah, I don't think I can just be another employee, another number, if you will. So when I came back home, I was licensed already in auto and home insurance, as well as life insurance. But I got into life insurance a little bit more and then went back to home and auto a few years ago, and then decided, what am I waiting for? Why am I not just opening my own agency? And I said, it's time. It's way past time. And my daughter was a number one, saying, Mom, you can do this. You got this. She's always been my cheerleader.
Yeah. And, you know, insurance, I think, still has the misnomer that it's a male-dominated industry. Mm-hmm. You look at the commercials, and there's always, like, men being portrayed as insurance. And that didn't sway you in any way.
No. No, not even as a young person in business. Whenever I would hear something like, well, you probably can't do that because, I'd start to flip that and say, okay, well, let me show you. And was it scary to think about opening an agency? Of course. It wasn't like I just opened up and said, okay, today's the day, I'm going to go do this. I had a healthy dose of fear, which I think you need to step out and do this. But before doing it, I also spoke to a lot of people and said, you know, this is what I'm thinking. And they, no one flinched. Everyone was like, yeah, I've been waiting for you to do this. Like, what's taken so long?
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I left television after 25 years and started my production company. I think I'm working harder now than I did in my 20s.
Yes. I know what you mean.
I mean, it's just, you know, they're like, oh, you own your own business, you have your podcast. Yeah, but I do everything.
Yeah, I think people get the idea that you're just sitting at home whenever you want and you can vacation whenever you know. This is almost 24 hours, other than the little bit that I get to sleep, because you're just constantly on it, you know, business mode.
And you made this decision right when we got smacked with the deadliest pandemic.
I mean, I like a good challenge. Watch me. Yes, we had our grand opening March of last year. And then, as I tell everyone, then our grand closing the same month. So beat that. But yes, I did. Obviously, no one predicted, you know, pandemic coming along. So I went full force. It was challenging for sure. I mean, you know, we didn't quite have the year that we wanted to for several reasons. Insurance doesn't go away, so that wasn't one of them. Luckily, we were still able to work. We're considered essential. The way I have the office set up, we're remote ready. So pick up your laptop and your headphone and you can work from home. But yeah, it was a blow there for a minute.
Right. And I imagine that, well, maybe not, but were there times, you know, when you saw how difficult this pandemic was becoming and people losing their jobs, losing their homes, losing their cars, you know?
Absolutely.
Did you feel like, oh, geez, Tanya, maybe this was...
Yeah. Well, yes, for sure, because you think, oh, gosh, you know, am I going to be able to make the sales goal that I'm looking for this month to make it, because I am a new business and I'm not getting renewals yet, which would sustain me. Sales definitely dipped. I didn't have the staff up to where I wanted once I opened also. So that was another challenge. But what I did like and what I found myself, you know, doing more and more was comforting people. They were calling to ask about their insurance and, you know, am I going to lose this if, or what happens if, but we had some processes in place where they could keep their insurance, you know, skip a month or stretch it out, or let's put that payment at the back end and give them some type of ease, because there's so many, you know, uncertainties going on at the time. So many people have called me with lost jobs. And so we've lowered coverages for them, or just see what we can do to help.
That's incredible. I mean, I just think it's so important, because, you know, I mean, for being in a pandemic and then losing your job and then, you know, and then you have this home and you have your cars and stuff, and, you know, people kind of think like, oh, you know, and then on top of that, insurance. But really, that's what you're paying for, right? Mm-hmm. Is the ability to be able to hold on to these things.
Right.
With all these different factors. What was your support system like when you opened up last year?
Amazing. First two people I told, called my dad and my mom and said, look, this is what I want to do. My dad was like, yeah, like when? And my mom was like, oh my God, yes, excited. I have incredible network of friends that I have, you know, been in touch with, reached out to them. Reached out to business owners, say, look, this is what I'm thinking about. Talked to my boyfriend, who was very supportive, Kenny, and said, okay, what do you need from me? How do we do, what do we do to make this happen? And my daughter, like I said, number one cheerleader. So I had an incredible support system in place already. So I was building that up to say, one day I'm going to break this to them.
Because it's important, because, you know, you work a lot of hours mm-hmm. when you run your own business. Like my husband comes home, and I'm still in my office working. He's like, well, when are you coming upstairs? I'm like, I have two more Zoom meetings I have to do before the end of the day.
Yeah.
Does it get challenging to kind of have that work-life balance as a business owner?
You know, because it was during the pandemic, I can say haven't felt it as much. And I no longer have a young child. This would probably be 10 times more challenging if I did. I do have a very supportive child now. So that's great. But yeah, you know, sometimes you want to do things and you find yourself, well, I still have work, or dinner's going to be late, or maybe not this week and maybe the following for whatever reason. But I work it out. I mean, I did a lot of the other stuff earlier on in life. I knew I wanted to do this, so I knew I had to put the time in.
And you just celebrated a year.
I did.
Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you.
How does it feel?
Feels amazing. It's still sometimes surreal to me that I have a key that opens a door to a business. Like, I did it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very, very fortunate and blessed to say that I am still open after a pandemic when so many other businesses have shut down. So that to me is just, you know, I'm grateful for that. And I wish I could save all the businesses.
What have been your greatest rewards in this past year?
In the past year? Wow. The fact that, and I hear this from a lot of people saying, oh, well, you know, because I've had challenges for sure. Like staffing has been a challenge because I wasn't up to that number that I wanted to be when I opened. But then during the pandemic, nobody's interviewing, nobody's going looking for jobs. So, you know, sales did go down because of that. But here I am still a year later, and I can say, and I hear that from people who are like, well, yeah, but you're still here. You know, when anytime I want to complain or whatever, or vent, I'm like, but you're still here. And I'm like, yeah, I gotta keep that in mind for sure. But it's just very just rewarding to be another agency in the neighborhood, and it's my name on there. You know, it's another woman-owned, minority-owned business.
What's next for Tanya Blanco?
Oh boy. Well, I thought about maybe opening another agency. I don't know. I'm still on the fence on that, about that.
Breaking news.
But because of the pandemic, I haven't been able to get out there in the community as much as I normally would. So I want to get back out there in the community and you know, kind of participate in different events. I just was asked to join the, I'm part of the chamber here in Framingham, and I was just asked to join the diversity, equity, inclusion team, which I'm very excited about because I'd love to see some more diversity.
Yes.
And, you know, open some doors for other women businesses.
And you have a fantastic mayor out there, Yvonne Spicer.
She was at our ribbon cutting.
Yeah, she's been on my show a couple of times. She's fantastic. And
yeah,
I know that she's really trying to work on businesses in the Framingham area. So I'm glad she's a great support.
Yeah, when we let her know that we were open, she was like, oh, I'll be there. So she was great.
The Power Play ends with asking our guests three questions. And my first question to you was, what was one of the dreams you had back then that you still want to achieve?
I've been fortunate enough to travel, but I want to travel a lot more. I want to see like the rest of the world. I feel like that's how we learn from one another. That's how we understand one another. And I think that's kind of what's been going on now, is that we have so many walls and divides between us because we're just not understanding one another. And I feel like if maybe I can go visit places, talk to people, and see some of these places, you know, I'd have a better understanding and just learn some more culture. Yeah.
What advice would you give to young aspiring business owners, particularly women?
Find other women business owners. It might be difficult. And I only say that because we're not exactly broadcast out there, but we're out there. So find some other business owners, women in particular, get a network going, start surrounding yourself with the kind of people that, you know, you want to be included with. Talk to your friends and family, make sure you have the support system. That's very, very important. You don't want to go out there and not have a support system to help you, because you're going to need it.
That's great advice. Mm-hmm. And last, I want you to finish this sentence. I'm an empowering woman because
I'm not afraid to share my story, and I'm not averse to listening to others. That's where I learn. So that's how I feel like I can help others, and I know I've been helped in the past.
Tanya Blanco, classmate of thank you so much for being a guest on the Power Play today. Tell folks how they can get in touch with you and how they can find you.
Yes, my agency, Tanya Blanco, it's an Allstate agency in Framingham, Mass. And we are on the corner of Route 9 and Temple Street. And our phone number is 508-980-5865. Or you can email me, tanyablanco1@allstate.com.
Well, I wish you continued success.
Thank you.
I'm going to be calling you for insurance questions.
So I'll be here for you.
We will be talking soon. But yeah, thank you so much for just giving us the time today. I think your story is inspiring. And I think that people can really learn and know that there's no such thing as not fulfilling your dreams. The road just changes a little bit.
The road changes. The timing might be a little off, but doesn't mean you can't get there.
Remember, you can listen to past episodes of The Power Play wherever you subscribe to podcasts, including iTunes, iHeartRadio, and now Pandora Podcasts. You can also watch our interviews on YouTube. Simply search Hull Bay Productions Media Channel. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And as always, we air on BroncoEyeRadio.com each Saturday at 5 p.m. So be sure to tune into the Power Play Show on Thursdays for a new episode wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or on Hull Bay Productions Media Channel on YouTube, or simply visit thepowerplayshow.com. As I'm doing all month, I want to take this time to highlight a woman who inspires me in my life. Kimberly Bryant made it her mission to give female minorities the same opportunities as their male peers. She formed the Black Girls Code with this goal in mind. Black Girls Code is devoted to showing the world that Black girls can code and do so much more. By reaching out to the community through workshops and after-school programs, Black Girls Code introduces computer coding lessons to young girls from underrepresented communities in programming languages such as Scratch or Ruby on Rails. Black Girls Code has set out to prove to the world that girls of every color have the skills to become the programmers of tomorrow. By promoting classes and programs, Black Girls Code hopes to grow the number of women of color working in technology and giving underprivileged girls a chance to become the masters of their technological worlds. Black Girls Code's ultimate goal is to provide African American youth with the skills to occupy some of the 1.4 million computing job openings expected to be available in the U.S. by 2020 and to train 1 million girls by 2040. As my guest Tanya Blanco said today, by mentoring and partnering with other business women of color, we can help inspire an entire generation of women entrepreneurs in all genres of work, just like Kimberly Bryant, by finding a reason to give back. Until next time, I'm Tonya McGrath. Put on a mask, stay safe, and protect each other.